Hello and welcome to Encouraging Others and Loving Jesus. I'm your host, Kim Smith. This is episode 266. He consulted everyone but the one with all the answers. So I'm kind of got a little laughter in my voice. Whenever I clicked the button to start the podcast, I try to focus my mind because I do a lot of things beyond this podcast. I do a grief talk show kind of thing for Facebook Live. Like, I do my Sunday school class. And so I start all of those with different verbiage and I try to remember that. I clicked the button and I didn't fall into the trap of either of those. No, I sang you a little song. And I was like, where in the world did that come from? So I think that will be edited out, but if by chance this podcast starts off differently and you hear me sing like, hello, my friend, hello, we all have those moments where you have to shake your head and wonder, where in the world did that come from? And that was me today. It has been quite the eventful 7 days for me. It's been exactly 7 days since I recorded the last episode of this podcast, and there's a whole lot has happened in between. And as we go into today's lesson, this is one of those lessons that I pray that all of us, every last one of us, including the podcast host, really is convicted by what God is speaking to me and through me. We have been working our way through the book of 1 Kings for quite some time now. We're in 1 Kings 12. And a lot of times I share the one from Chronicles either as well or maybe in place of. But this time I went with the one in 1 Kings. It is that dreaded time in our story where we have what is called the divided kingdom of Israel, or almost the divided kingdom of Israel. The first earthly king of Israel was King Saul. He was not God's choice. He was the people's choice, but God allowed them to have their way. Excuse me. Because they were so insistent. And when we're so insistent and we will not listen to God, He will sometimes allow us to run off that cliff to help us see that, well, we really don't know all that we think we do. And then we had David, who was God's choice as the king of Israel. And we know that David didn't do everything right on every day. That's a fact of life. No one did but Jesus. But David was a man after God's own heart. And there were so many lessons to learn from him. And we spent, about 2 years on just David, I would think. Then we've spent the last few months on King Solomon. King Solomon was David's child, second child by Bathsheba. And King Solomon asked for wisdom, and God gave it to him to rule the kingdom. But Solomon did not in any way, shape, or form use the wisdom God gave him to make choices in his personal life. And he set himself and Israel up for disaster. Fact of life. You marry 700 royal wives and 300 concubines, and that's not counting everybody else who came to visit at the palace. Like, really, Solomon, you thought that was a good idea? And so we have seen that God told Solomon, I am not pleased with you in any way, shape, or form, but not only because that he had married all of those women, but he had adopted and or set up altars to their gods, little g gods, and he worshipped their little g gods. So relationships can get you into a world of hurt in so many ways, including leading you astray from the one true God. And God said that he would not pulled the kingdom away from Solomon while he was alive. But because of David, not because of Solomon. But after he died, it was going to be divided up. And we saw in the last couple of lessons, the people that God raised up against Solomon. In the first lesson, we saw two. And we talked about the whole idea of, do you want to be a person who God raises up for his purpose? Or do you want to be someone who lives in such a way that God needs to raise up someone to stop you from destroying? And then last week we talked about Jeroboam. And today we talk about Rehoboam. Very, very, very important names in the history of Israel. So Jeroboam was a part of Solomon's contingent. I mean, he was doing a good job. And he got a message from God through a prophet that said, Solomon is messed up. When the kingdom is divided, you are going to have 10 of the tribes of Israel. But one, is how it's listed, will remain under the reign of one of David's lineage. It was truly two, but Benjamin is not mentioned very often at all. All we usually hear about is Judah. So Jeroboam knew that, and Solomon, instead of Solomon being repentant and begging God for mercy, instead he tries to kill Jeroboam. So Jeroboam goes into hiding, and we see him come out of hiding today. One of the things that I had forgotten, I've been teaching on the divided kingdom for the last few years in Sunday school, but I had forgotten how the division came about. I had forgotten, part of today's lesson is what it came down to. I had forgotten that initially Rehoboam was to be the king of all 12 tribes of Israel. We already know, it's one of those things where you've got, spoiler alert, you know that this is not going to work out. But whether Rehoboam really got that or not, I doubt it in any way, shape, or form. Today's story comes out of 1 Kings 12, 1 through 20. And as we read down through it, I'm going to point out the main sermon that if you have ever heard a sermon preached on this text, that you may have heard someone preach on a particular part of it. You probably have never heard anybody talk about what I'm getting ready to talk about, even though for me, I think it is the most important component of the entire text, even though there are leadership lessons in the midst of it. And so I entitled this week, he consulted everyone but the one with all the answers. And I want to ask you, how many times have you been in that situation where you get a phone call or you get something to come up at work or school or wherever it may be, and immediately you text or call somebody with skin on? Because you've just got to run it by them. Now, God expects us to have people around us to whom we are accountable, that we can ask questions, that we can inquire of them to pray for us and to give us accountability. But we are to first and foremost go to the Lord. Why? Well, number one, let's just lay it out. Who's the one with all the answers? There's only one, and he is the one and only. So it's nice to go to somebody with skin on, but that should only be after we've gone to the Lord, and if we need to kind of have some help discerning what the Lord is telling us through his word, through prayer. But we get it backward, don't we? Most every day of our lives. And we run to people, whether it's we text them, we call them, we message them, we go find them. And so our weekly assignment feature, I want you to be thinking about it. When was the last time you went to the Lord first with a question? And so let's jump into Rehoboam. So Solomon has died, and at the end of the last chapter, same thing for in the Chronicles, we see that Solomon died and the length of his reign, and that Rehoboam, his son, was to become the next king of Israel. So here you go. Rehoboam went to Shechem, where all Israel had gathered to make him king. And let's stop there. That's the verse that, as I looked at that, as I was reading through it, I'm like, yeah, that is the fact. The fact was that this wasn't, at least at this very moment, a divided kingdom. It was still one kingdom under the leadership of someone from the lineage of David. But that doesn't last very long at all. Number two, verse two. When Jeroboam, son of Nebat, heard of this, he returned from Egypt. Again, he had run off to Egypt because Solomon was trying to kill him. Solomon thought he could fix his problems by taking out one of his, quote, enemies, not realizing his main enemy was inside of himself. The passions that he had allowed to get absolutely out of control, as well as the violation of the very first commandment to love the Lord only. He had flunked at that. So here we go. For he had returned from Egypt, he had fled to Egypt to escape from King Solomon. The leaders of Israel summoned him. I'm going to stop. Do you realize that King Solomon was acting? Who was he acting like? That other king of Israel that starts with an S. He was acting like King Saul. He was paranoid. Just like Saul had chased David all over creation, because he was afraid that David was going to take the kingdom. Solomon, because he got in a bad way and left the Lord and his counsel, he ended up as paranoid as Saul. Wow, isn't that interesting? Now we go. Chapter. Verse 3. The leaders of Israel summoned him, and Jeroboam and the whole assembly of Israel went to speak with Rehoboam. Your father was a hard master, they said. Lighten the harsh labor demands and heavy taxes that your father imposed on us. Then we will be your loyal subjects. It's interesting to me, when I was reading back through this, that Jeroboam was a part of that contingency. So Jeroboam knows that he is going to be king of 10 of these tribes. He's been told this. And I don't know if he's helping to position. He already had, obviously, he had clout with the other leaders because they want him around to go to Rehoboam. But just kind of interesting. Rehoboam replied, give me 3 days to think this over. Then come back for my answer. So the people went away. So, like, verse 5 doesn't sound too bad, does it? Like, Rehoboam wants some time to, we would hope, pray. But that doesn't happen at all from what we can tell. What's Rehoboam going to do in these 3 days? Well, let's find out. So, chapter, I don't know how I'm going to get through this because I keep saying the wrong word. Verse 6, then King Rehoboam discussed the matter with the older men who had counseled his father Solomon. What is your advice? He asked. How should I answer these people? The older counselors replied, if you are willing to be a servant to these people today and give them a favorable answer, they will always be your loyal subject. Well, let's stop there. What do you think of the advice of the older counselors? If you are willing to be a servant to these people today and give them a favorable answer, they will always be your loyal subjects. From a human standpoint, that sounds like an excellent answer of servant leadership. Like, in other words, if you really want to lead these people, you need to humble yourself, listen to what they're saying, and work with them to accomplish what is needed. Next. And then so that's the advice of the older counselors. Here we go. Verse 8. But Rehoboam rejected the advice of the older men and instead asked the opinion of the young men who had grown up with him and were now his advisors. What is your advice, he asked them. How should I answer these people who want me to lighten the burdens imposed by my father? The young men replied, This is what you should tell those complainers who want a lighter burden. My little finger is thicker than my father's waist. I don't know what in the world that means, and it's not worth trying to figure out. Yes, my father laid heavy burdens on you, but I'm going to make them even heavier. My father beat you with whips, but I will beat you with scorpions. That just sounds like overkill to me. But anyway, 3 days later, Jeroboam and all the people returned to hear Rehoboam's decision, just as the king had ordered. But Rehoboam spoke harshly to the people, for he rejected the advice of the older counselors and followed the counsel of his younger advisors. He told the people, my father laid heavy burdens on you, but I'm going to make them even heavier. My father beat you with whips, but I will beat you with scorpions. Like, he even uses the exact terminology of his peers, sounding like the big dog, like he's in charge and he's got power. Boy, is he wrong. 15. So the king paid no attention to the people. Hold on to that little phrase. This turn of events was the will of the Lord, for it fulfilled the Lord's message to Jeroboam, son of Nebat, through the prophet Ahijah from Shiloh. When all Israel realized that the king had refused to listen to them, they responded, down with the dynasty of David. We have no interest in the son of Jesse. Back to your homes, O Israel. Look out for your own house, O David. So the people of Israel returned home. But Rehoboam continued to rule over the Israelites who lived in the towns of Judah. King Rehoboam sent Adoniram, who was in charge of the forced labor, to restore order, but the people of Israel stoned him to death. Yeah, you heard that right. When this news reached King Rehoboam, he quickly jumped into his chariot and fled to Jerusalem. And to this day, the northern tribes of Israel have refused to be ruled by a descendant of David. Verse 20, when the people of Israel learned of Jeroboam's return from Egypt, they called an assembly and made him king over all Israel. So only the tribe of Judah remained loyal to the family of David. And we're not going to go into that part this week. We're going to talk about Jeroboam next week. So, have you ever heard a sermon on this text? Or have you ever preached a sermon or done a Sunday school lesson on this text? My gut says that if you have, it's a good possibility that the speaker emphasized the fact that you shouldn't necessarily listen to your peers, but you should listen to those that are older than you, that have more life under their belt. That's not the point of the story, even though that's not a bad takeaway. I don't think that's what this scripture is in here for mainly. Number two, I doubt that you've heard this talked about, but from a leadership standpoint, there is at least one more takeaway in this other than be careful who you seek counsel from. But number two is the fact that in verse 15, it starts out, so the king paid no attention to the people. I don't know about you. From a leadership standpoint, I think that's called shooting yourself in the foot. And again, that's not the main point of this text, but we all are leaders in some way, shape, or form, whether it's leaders in our household, leaders in our church, leaders in our community, leaders in our job, or leaders in some sort of organization. We all have leadership roles. And if we go about and we don't listen to the people, that doesn't mean that we always do what they want. Like, if you are the leader in your household, just because you listen to your little kids and hear their opinions does not mean you're always going to do what they say. Like, we get that. But if you don't listen, you don't learn. as well as if you don't listen, then are they really going to follow you as a leader, or are they going to just do what you say while you're there because maybe they fear you? And that's exactly what happened here, except that they didn't even do what he said, because they're like, no, we're not even going to pay attention to you. Verse 16 said, when all Israel realized that the king had refused to listen to them. See, like some people fake it, like they fake listening and then they go and do whatever they want to. People know. So a few years ago, there was this show called Undercover Boss. And it's not something I watched on a regular basis. Excuse me. I think I might have seen an episode or two. I don't even know if I saw the full episode. But I understand the premise of it. You had bosses from multiple different types of businesses, that large businesses, that went undercover in their own businesses for kind of an experiment, for them to be able to hear from the people who were doing tasks day to day what was really going on in the company. And it was incredibly eye-opening for the bosses. Because, and I know that this happens, I've seen it in my own industry, where you have people who aren't boots on the ground that make decisions that to the people in the field, like, we know that they don't pay attention because that doesn't make any sense. Or they don't make decisions that could really benefit everybody, including the whole company, because they don't know enough about what's going on. And so, you know, another lesson from Rehoboam is if you're in a leadership position, it would be a good idea to listen to the people. Like, before you make decisions, truly try to get to know what's going on. But again, that's not the main point. To me, number one, the main point is the fact that God already knew this was going to happen. Like, God's already said that Jeroboam is going to take over the 10 tribes. This was just a part of that plan. So Rehoboam was acting out his part without meaning to. Like, Rehoboam appears to think that he really is in charge and that, like, he doesn't have to be accountable to anybody. He just does whatever Rehoboam thinks is best. But to me, other than that point, which we know is it's in the text here, it's in the text of the story of Jeroboam from last week, but from just looking at the story and trying to not think about what is definitely going to happen about the divided kingdom, Rehoboam, what didn't Rehoboam do? He didn't talk to God at all from what we can see. And sometimes maybe there are conversations that go on in the background that doesn't show in Scripture. I don't think so. Like, it just doesn't appear that way. It looks like he went to the elders and he asked them a question and he didn't like the answer. So he went to his peers and that answer sounded better to him, that it was going to be better to be stiff-handed. And so he was going to come out as the power broker and that's how he was going to rule, with an iron fist. In his case, going to beat them with scorpions. Really? Like, dude, you are of the lineage of David, the man after God's own heart. God has been blessing Israel throughout the ages. Israel was God's chosen people to reach the nations. But Rehoboam appears to not even ask him what he should do. He asked the older men. He asked the younger men. But he does not ask the Lord. And before we get on our high horses and say, well, like Rehoboam, that was a no-brainer. Like, you should have known to go to God. How many times Has that been you? Or me, for that matter? How many times have I immediately texted or called someone, or even posted on social media to get a poll going? What do you think I should do about whatever it may be? Ask your coworkers. But consulting the Lord, who has all the answers, who is the keeper of all wisdom and truly wisdom personified, we can all learn from Rehoboam. Yes, Rehoboam's situation, we knew what was going to happen. Whether he did or not, he may have heard rumor, but it appears that he didn't get the memo. He's going to, but he didn't yet. But let's learn from Rehoboam. Like this very day, what is it that you're trying to work through in your mind? You're trying to figure out, is it a relationship decision for yourself, for someone else that you're trying to advise? Is it a work problem that you just can't seem to figure out? Is it something going on at church where it just seems like this, we just don't seem to be breaking through here? What is it that has you up at night? What has you preoccupied while I've been talking? What is it that is gnawing at you? Have you taken it to the Lord? Have you gotten into His Word and said, God, please show me you? And then please show me the direction you want me to go. Rehoboam didn't ask that question, or at least from what we can see. But we're guilty too. May today be the day that that changes. That we set our eyes on Christ. That each day, whatever it is that is working on our heart, our mind, our spirit, that we take it to the Lord. Not only is He the one with all the answers, He's also the one with all the power to change situations, to change hearts. How many times have we just sat around and really wore ourselves out trying to figure out what's going on? Why is this person not answering me? What did I ever do? Or whatever it may be. And not praying about it. I'm feeling myself stepping on my own toes at the moment. Because I've got a situation right now where I put out a request to someone and they did not respond at all. And I know that they saw it. And I've been tempted to think about that earlier today, but I kind of been running so fast I couldn't think much about it. But I need to pray. I need to pray that if this person is supposed to be a part of the solution for this particular situation, that they will respond. And if not, that I will go a different direction. What is it that you need to take to Him? And ask yourself the weekly assignment feature. When was the last time you went to the Lord first with a question? And if you don't immediately have an answer, you have your answer. You're going the wrong direction. You're rolling down Rehoboam Road. Go to the Father, the one who holds all answers, but also holds all the solutions. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for sharing this with others. It helps so much when you share it with others, whether you send them a message, whether you send the link. If you can share the QR code that's at the bottom of the show notes, and that QR code takes you or them to all the podcast episodes. The rough and tumble first 50 episodes that had no intro music. I think it's the first 50. It's either 50 or 100. It seems like a world ago, but boy. Oh, I could write a book about what I didn't know about podcasting in the early days and still what I don't know. But this is not my full-time gig, at least at this point. Maybe one day, but there's a whole lot that has to happen before that could ever be even a possibility. I could ask that you pray about that, that one of these days, if this is the direction God wants me to go, that he will open up those doors and that he will show me the direction he wants me to go. Next week, we'll talk about Jeroboam. He doesn't get off to a good start either, just in a different way. And so you can look down below for resources. If you wonder about this whole Jesus thing and like, do I really know Jesus? Do I really want to know Jesus? You can reach out to me, reach out to somebody else who's a Christ follower, or click on the link below that says, I want to begin a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and just check it out. I highly, highly, highly recommend it. I can't imagine my life without him. So, as we close out, remember, it's always a trust and obey kind of day.